From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Thank you for joining us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. Today we continue a series of studies in the Law of God, messages preached by Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns in just a few minutes. First, please enjoy this devotional thought from C.H. Spurgeon's collection called Morning by Morning.
This morning's text is found in John chapter 15 and verse 19. I have chosen you out of the world. Here is distinguishing grace and discriminating regard, for some are made the special objects of divine affection. Do not be afraid to dwell upon this high doctrine of election. When your mind is most heavy and depressed, you will find it to be a bottle of richest cordial. Those who doubt the doctrines of grace, or who cast them into the shade, miss the richest clusters of Eshcol. They lose the wines on the lees well refined, the fat things full of marrow. There is no balm in Gilead comparable to it. If the honey in Jonathan's wood, when but touched, enlightened the eyes, this is honey which will enlighten your heart to love and learn the mysteries of the kingdom of God. Eat, and fear not a surfeit. Live upon this choice dainty, and fear not that it will be too delicate a diet. Eat from the king's table will hurt none of his courtiers. Desire to have your mind enlarged, that you may comprehend more and more the eternal, everlasting, discriminating love of God. When you have mounted as high as election, tarry on its sister mount, the covenant of grace. Covenant engagements are the munitions of stupendous rock behind which we lie entrenched. Covenant engagements with the surety, Christ Jesus, are the quiet resting places of trembling spirits. His oath, His covenant, His blood support me in the raging flood. When every earthly prop gives way, this still is all my strength and stay. If Jesus undertook to bring me to glory, and if the Father promised that He would give me to the Son to be a part of the infinite reward of the travail of His soul, then my soul, till God Himself shall be unfaithful, till Jesus shall cease to be the truth, thou art safe. When David danced before the ark, he told Michael that election made him do so. Come, my soul, exult before the God of grace, and leap for joy of heart.
Passes all other, will keep your hearts and your minds in Christ our Lord.
Always, always rejoice in the Lord. I'll say it again, oh, rejoice in the Lord.
With unselfish giving, with sanctified living, with hearts in thanksgiving, rejoice in the Lord.
One of the most precious gifts God has given to mankind is the Bible, the Holy Scriptures. For those in the English-speaking world, the ability to own a copy of God's Word is taken for granted. Indeed, many of us possess multiple copies of the Bible. Yet, this was not always the case. There was a time when attempts to translate the Bible into the language of the common people were met with persecution and even death. Men like John Wycliffe and William Tyndale were hunted like outlaws simply because they labored to give God's Word to people in the language they could understand. Let the Bible Speak is pleased to make available a booklet that briefly traces the history of those efforts, entitled How We Got Our English Bible. This short publication tells the story of the development of the authorized version of the Scriptures as we know it, including the enormous impact of the invention of printing upon the spreading of God's Word. Published by the Trinitarian Bible Society, this booklet is free to all who request it. Simply email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you wish, you may call us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. If you prefer regular mail, simply write Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Just ask for your copy of How We Got Our English Bible, and we'll be happy to provide it. Today, Dr. Cairns continues his series of studies in the law of God as he brings another portion of a message dealing with the third commandment, Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. As we've already seen, God's name is a revelation of who he is, expressing his very essence and nature. Yet, this commandment is abused more than any other God has given. Any wrong use of God's name constitutes taking it in vain. All men are accountable to God for the way in which they use his name, for he has revealed himself in many ways that cannot be ignored, in his works, in his word, but most of all in his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Furthermore, this commandment contains a serious warning that God will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Now to continue this message, here is Dr. Cairns.
What a revelation of God we have in Christ. The Lord has given us the law and the prophets. But now He has given us this full light of glory in His Son. And describing that revelation, we read in John 1:14, we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. We have every reason to fear truth. We have every reason to tremble at the truth of God. Truth will unmask the full depravity of our nature. Truth will rip aside the facade with which we so easily cover up our sins, even from our own consciences. Truth will show us what we are as God sees us and will expose us to the flaming judgment of God in His Word, in His inflexible judgment and justice. We have every reason to fear truth. But thank God, with truth He combines grace. And that could only happen in Christ. The psalmist foresaw this in the 85th Psalm, verse 10. He says, mercy and truth are met together. How easy it is just to jump over those words and miss their meaning. They seem to be antithetical. Mercy and truth are met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other. The only place that could happen is in the person of Christ, at the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's where grace and truth come together. That's where righteousness and peace kiss each other. That's where God can be just and yet the justifier of ungodly men through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. God has been graciously pleased to give us a revelation of Himself. Second thing we learn from our text is that that revelation of God's name imposes a very grave responsibility upon us. If the light of nature leaves man, what shall we say of those who have received the full revelation of God's grace in Christ? This revelation demands a response. I want you to understand, you cannot read the Bible without making a response to it. You cannot hear the gospel without making a response to it. Every time God gives you the revelation of Himself, He demands and He will have a response to it. The Word of God is clear as to what it ought to be. In the book of Psalms, we read in Psalm 29:2, give unto the Lord the glory due unto His name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Later in the 66th Psalm, the psalmist says, sing forth the honor of His name. Make His praise glorious. That's the response and the responsibility the Lord has laid upon us. In contrast, the Bible forbids taking upon our lips the names of other gods. Listen to what Moses was inspired to write in Exodus 23:13. In all things that I have said unto you, be circumspect and make no mention of the name of other gods, neither let it be heard out of thy mouth. The psalmist in the great Messianic 16th Psalm and verse 4 says, their sorrow shall be multiplied that hasten after another god. Their drink offerings of blood will I not offer, nor take up their names into my lips. Now it's clear from this that taking the name of a god upon your lips is an act of worship. It's an act of acknowledgement of that God. So when you take the name of God on your lips, it should be in worship. The only proper use of the name of the Lord is to use it in a worshiping acknowledgement of His person, His word, and His work. That's how to obey the third commandment. Isn't this what the Lord Jesus taught in the words of what we call the Lord's Prayer? He said, "When ye pray, say, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." He's using the words of Isaiah 8:13, "Sanctify the Lord of hosts himself. Let him be your fear." Peter took up the same theme and he said, "Sanctify the Lord God in your hearts." The only proper use of the name of the Lord, the only allowable way for us to take His name upon our lips, is in holy awe, with the purpose of glorifying Him or edifying man. Thus, it's proper for us to use His name in worship. We should use His name in prayer. Prayer is calling upon His name. Prayer is coming to God using the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We should, in worship, use His name in song. But we should be very careful how we use His name in song. I get very disturbed at some of the so-called hymns and Christian songs that are used. If you turn to the 5th chapter of Revelation, you get a picture of how we ought to use His name in song. There you have the gathered company of the saints. They're surrounded by angels, and they're lifting up this mighty name of the Lord, and they're crying, "Worthy, worthy, worthy. Thou art worthy." What holiness, what awe, what glory, what joy in their song. None of the light, stupid, frivolous, worldly and wicked nonsense using the name of God in meaningless gibberish that passes for song. I'm sure you had the chorus over here. I think it originated in America. It came to Britain, and it was the whole rage. Every children's meeting sang it. Every young people's fellowship sang it. And it was, "Hallelujah, hallelujah, 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 praise ye the Lord." And as they sang it, they would have the boys sing hallelujah, and the girls sing the next hallelujah, and they would sit as they would stand as they sang and sit down when they weren't singing. They were up and down and up and down, and it became just like a gymnastic exercise. Hallelujah, 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 praise ye the Lord. I told our young people's fellowship in Ballymoney, I ban that chorus as utter, total, unmitigated blasphemy. And I told them why. And I thank God they accepted the reasoning. Wherever we went, yes, even in Free Presbyterian churches, they were so dulled and stupid, so insensitive to the holy name, they didn't know in singing they were blaspheming. Remember a time we were making a recording in our studios in Ballymoney. I had nothing to do with making recordings. As you would know, I have no skills in that direction. But it so happened on a Saturday afternoon, I had a few minutes myself, and I drove out. And I heard what was the mix, as they call it, of this song. A young woman singing with a very pretty voice. "Shall we gather at the river, the beautiful river? Shall we gather at the river, that flows from the throne of God. She sang it a cappella. And as soon as they got to the words, the throne of God, there was a crashing of 12-string guitars and whatnot. And that's the point at which I walked in. I said, what on earth do you think you are doing? They looked at me as something from outer space. I said, scrap it right now. That will never go out of this studio. The throne of God? And is that jangle? Is that what the throne of God suggests to your mind? Is that the only response you have to the throne of God? We never thought of it that way. Well, think of it now. Think of it now. Oh yes. It's proper to use his name in song, in doxology, as the scripture does. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. It's proper to use that holy name in benediction, as we did this morning in the morning service at the dedication of the little one. And the great Aaronic blessing, the Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face to shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Again and again in the New Testament, Paul and the other apostles give out these great benedictions. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. It is good and proper to use his name in worship, both private and public, but be careful even there. It's possible in prayer just to recite the name Lord meaninglessly as a filler in until you think of something else to say. Better to be silent. The name of God is a holy name, even in worship. It's also proper to use the Lord's name in witness. From time immemorial, the solemn oath has been an appeal to God to confirm the truth of what we say. And in its proper setting, a solemn oath is a serious religious exercise. It is never to be spoken out of mere passion, anger, or vehemence. Paul said to the Corinthians in 2 Corinthians 1:23, I call God for a record upon my soul. He said to the Philippians in verse 8 of chapter 1, God is my record, how greatly I long after you all. And in one of the most solemn oaths ever taken, in Romans chapter 9, Paul says, I say the truth in Christ, I lie not, my conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost. Let me say, any professing Christian who could ever make that vow or take that oath and then deliberately lie, I think is still an unbeliever in heart, a stranger to God. A solemn thing. A solemn oath in witness. For God is my witness. In every word I say and every act I take.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake, If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us at 1-864-244-2408. That's 1-864-244-2408. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there's a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. This is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we Let the Bible Speak.